On the front of the bulletin that Nancy sends out to us, and then in Will's reading, both of them came from Genesis chapter 2. And what I'd like to do this morning is to kind of think about a question that leads to other things that I hope will be edifying. When God cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, was he punishing them or was he blessing them? I don't know, but if we did a survey, I would guess about a third of you would say punishing, a third of you would say blessing, and a third of you would say some of both. But that's what I'd like to look at for a moment this morning. We've all heard the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees. But I think the answer to the question, and at least the answer to the lesson I want to bring to you, is not found in the forest this morning. It is found in the trees. I like trees. On my morning walks, I seek their shade. I decide which side of the street to walk by which side of the street has the most shade. When we moved from our Harris Road home, our Harris Road home, Donna planted somewhere between 125 and 150 trees. They didn't all make it, but most of them did, and we said through the last 40 years that someday somebody will enjoy those trees. But we enjoyed watching them grow. In fact, one of those little saplings after almost 40 years of growing will probably soon be a playhouse habitat for our grandchildren, which is a nice thought. Some of you may be tree experts. When I think of tree experts in this congregation, my mind goes right to Mike George. I asked him a little bit about trees Wednesday night, and 30 minutes later, I moved on to talk to somebody else. Wasn't quite that much, but he knows so much. Ed and Wilma, I'd put in that category, but Mike might have them slightly on trees. I'm not an expert on trees. I can identify maybe 6 or 7 trees. But I like them. But more importantly, Scripture, I think, shares with us that God loves trees. He made some 60 to 70,000 different species of trees. Add to that their subspecies, and you have quite a creation. But there are 2 special trees that we're told about in Genesis chapter 2. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the tree of life that I want to focus on this morning, but you can't really untangle those two because I believe they are so intertwined in their lessons and in their thoughts. The first place in the Bible where we hear of the tree of life is in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 that Will just read for us a few moments ago. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the midst of the garden, in a special place, at the center of the garden, but maybe more importantly, at a special place at the center of the lives of Adam and Eve as they began their existence. You know, in many ways, the Bible is just a massive continuum or tapestry that stretches throughout the entire 66 books. And it never diverts in consistency, whether it's in Genesis or all the way to Revelations. It's as if you start pulling a string in the early part of the book of Genesis, That pulled string will take you to the last few chapters of the book of Revelation. And so it is, I believe, with the Tree of Life. Genesis and Revelations are two comparative, contrasting books. Genesis speaks about the creation of the sun. Revelation tells us of a place that will need no sun. Genesis speaks of the entrance of sin into the world. Revelation tells us of the banishment of all sin from God's kingdom. Genesis speaks of the sin curse that was pronounced upon mankind. Revelation tells us about the broken curse and the freedom that we can have. Genesis speaks of Satan's first triumphant victory over mankind. Revelation speaks of Satan's final demise and eternal defeat. And finally, Genesis speaks of man's banishment from the Tree of Life, and Revelation speaks of man's reunion with the Tree of Life. And that is a thread that I believe goes throughout the entire Scripture. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass," Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, "the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1. 11 and 12. Many, many trees were created in Genesis chapter 1, but only two were mentioned by name, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as I said, while they are separate trees, they are intricately intertwined in God's plan for us. But let's back up just a little bit, because these are not simply stories for our children to begin to learn about how this world was actually created, although that's a very important lesson for them and us to get out of it. It's a story about God's plan for you and I, for fallen man. One tree is the tree of knowledge. It's the tree God told Adam and Eve that they should never eat. And when you tell someone that they should never do something, you almost immediately make them want to do it. The second tree mentioned was the tree of life. And God moved Adam and Eve out of the garden to keep them from eating it. Or from it. The worst thing after being poisoned by the tree of knowledge of good and evil that could have happened to Adam and Eve was to live forever in that awful state of sin. And had they eaten of the tree of life after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have been destined for an eternity without God and an eternity with sin. Satan used one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to curse man with sin. God used the other tree, the tree of life, to bless man with life. After man succumbed to Satan's temptation, he was immediately cut off from the garden and the tree of life. Was that part of the punishment? Well, the Lord does tell us back in Genesis chapter 3 that man had become like one of us, one of the Trinity. And he now knew what sin was. He was conscious of it. He had a perception of it. And it is true, there was punishment for eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Three levels of punishment, or at least three spheres of punishment. First of all, God punished the serpent. Genesis 3, 14 and following. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The serpent, Satan, was punished, and his destiny was clearly articulated in those passages. But then God moved to the woman, and he punished her. And he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Punishment number two. And then he turns to Adam. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed be the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. Three levels, 3 degrees, 3 categories of punishment. One to the serpent, one to the woman, and one to the man. And then God cast them out of the garden. And I come back to the question I began with. Was that part of the punishment? Well, we find the tree of life in other places other than Genesis chapters 2 and 3. In the book of Proverbs, the tree of life is used as imagery in conjunction with wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18, wisdom is a tree of life. To those who lay hold of her, those who hold her fast are called blessed. Proverbs 11 and 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Proverbs 15 and 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. But back to Adam and Eve in Genesis. They were allowed to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, and from it they got nourishment, probably physical nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and they got life. It was a tremendously blissful tree to them, unlike the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Was then, when they were banished from the tree of life, as they were banished from the Garden of Eden, was that part of their punishment? I submit to you today, it was not. In any way, shape, or form, part of their punishment. And in fact, it may well have been the greatest blessing God ever bestowed upon them and on us. Had Adam and Eve eaten again of the tree of life after they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have lived forever in sin without God. We sometimes use the phrase hell on earth. That would have been hell on earth, in my humble admonition. Sometimes we hear the term getting a second bite at the apple. I don't know where that term came from. It may have come from dunking, when we used to dunk for apples and you finally learned the only way you could get it was go clear to the bottom and pin it against the bottom so you could grip it. I don't know. But I believe the Lord gave Adam and Eve, you and I, a second bite at the apple, if apple was the fruit from the tree of life. We're not told its specific character, but it was a fruit. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, it says, God drove out man, and he placed a cherubim in the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. And I had always, as a child, kind of imagined he put that there so man couldn't go back in the Garden of Eden, so they couldn't enjoy the luxury and the fruit and the wonderfulness of the Garden of Eden. Well, he put those things there to keep man out of the Garden of Eden. But I no longer think it was a punishment. I think it was probably one of the greatest, absolutely greatest acts of mercy that God ever bestowed on mankind. The cherubim, the flaming sword, the guards were divine blessings. Adam and Eve may not have understood it at that time because they were cast into a world with thorns and thistles and childbearing that was painful. They were thrust into a world that held the consequences of sin, a life full of sorrow, toil, pain, and suffering. How could that be a blessing? A life with broken bodies and broken, fallen world. But by taking access to the tree of life away from them, God limited the number of years man would live. Death was introduced to the world. God limited the number of years that Adam and Eve would live when they no longer could partake of the tree of life, which would give them eternal life. And he gave them and gave us the opportunity of relief that I believe can now and only now come with death. Death, a blessing? Absolutely. There's a lot of tensions in the way God has made us, and I don't understand them all. God has placed a desire in us to go and be with him eternally, and he's also placed in us a desire to take care of ourselves and stay here as long as we can. And I don't understand all that tension, but I understand God knows best. If I really wanted to go to God right now, I would never go to the doctor again. But I think God has put self-preservation in my spirit, and that's appropriate for us to do. It's just kind of an interesting tension to me. But by limiting our years, God allows us the freedom to choose the type of eternal life that we want. Without death, without being banished from the tree of life, we would have been stuck in eternity without God and the misery of sin. Death allows us the chance to choose what eternity destination we want. And this is carried over in the teaching in the New Testament. By the sin of one man, the gates of the Garden of Eden were closed. But through the death of another man, the gates of paradise were opened. Adam closed the gates to the Garden of Eden. Jesus opened the gates to paradise. Think where we would have been or where we would be if we were only outside the Garden of Eden with no chance to get into the gates of paradise. As we look at the death of our Savior, and we did this earlier, particularly in our observance of the Lord's Supper, we see sometimes the Bible refers to his cross as a tree. And I don't think that's an accident. The word that we find in the Bible that is often translated cross is really the word for wood. And it's really saying that Jesus hung on wood. True statement. The cross was made of wood. But sometimes in the Bible, it's translated that he was hung on a tree. True statement in the sense that the tree was from wood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Could we now have the continuous thread of the tree of life in Genesis to Revelations being brought to us here now in the New Testament as Jesus hung on the tree of life? The word there that's translated tree, or sometimes translated cross in the Greek, is xylon, X-Y-L-O-N. And it means timber or wood, as I pointed out. And sometimes that word is used for the cross. Some 20 times in the New Testament it is. Just a few examples. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Acts chapter 13, verse 29, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree, or from the wood, literally, and laid him in a tomb. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When Jesus hung on the cross, or the tree, he was cursed with death. But he turned the curse of death into a blessing for life. Jesus transformed the cursed tree into a blessing tree. What began as death turned into life. I believe if Satan had fully understood what hanging Jesus on the tree was going to do, he would have done everything in his power to keep Jesus alive. It was the death of Jesus that doomed Satan forever, because Jesus showed the power over death. God knew his plan from the very beginning. In his great love and mercy, God provided one who would redeem fallen man, and those who choose to accept that gift of his Son in obedience will once again see and partake of the tree of life. And that's what Revelation really tells us. We can get all caught up in the minutiae of the symbolism of Revelation, and that's fine if you choose to do that and can get some exhortation out of it, fine. But the book of Revelation really reintroduces us to the tree of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus speaking. He who has an ear, let him hear that the Spirit says to the churches, to him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. The tree that was in the Garden of Eden is now in paradise. And he says, God banished man from eating of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but he now has the tree of life in paradise just waiting for you to take a eternal bite of it and live with him eternally. The promise to be able to look forward to eating again of the tree of life was given some 4,000 years after it was banished from man. Listen to some of these wonderful passages in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. John now is getting a vision of looking up into the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, where we, by faith and hopefully obedience, are headed. He said, he showed me a pure river of water, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God, the Lamb. This beautiful crystal river of life coming out of the throne of God. In the middle of the street, he says, and on either side of the tree was what? The tree of life. John sees a vision of where you and I long to go. And what does he see? He sees a river, and beside it or in the midst of it is the tree of life. When Will read those verses from Genesis chapter 2, and I kind of apologize for all those rivers in there, the tree of life was right in the middle of rivers. The tree of life is still in the middle of rivers, but now it's the river of the Lord coming from his throne. John was given this vision of a new creation. Just as Jesus had transformed the cross from curse into blessing, the same transformational life force awaits us at the end of our lives. Through our own death, God's children will be transformed into the life to come. Notice I said God's children, not all people, but God's children, those who have accepted his son, will now be partakers again of the tree of life. That tree of life that's described in heaven is it's an amazing thing because it's described as having fruit all year round, and it seems as if it's describing every month it has a different fruit. I don't know how that all works out, but I do know that it's always going to have fruit that you and I can eat of in heaven and therefore live eternally with the Lord. Adam and Eve could have had that, but God mercifully took it away from them so that they would, once they had sinned, not be trapped in eternal sin. God knew he was going to send his son because he knew man was going to mess up. But how thankful we need to be. In the presence of the tree of life in Eden that offered everlasting life with God, we now have that opportunity with God in heaven. The fruit that we can eternally eat from. Just a few other verses in Revelation. Revelation 22 and 2. On either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit yielding its fruit each month. Remember I said 12 kinds yielding its fruit each month. It's just never out of season. It's just always got fruit for those in heaven to eat. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. 22 and 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Blessed are those who have become holy through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, because they will have right to the tree of life. Those of us that are going to be involved with food and fellowship this afternoon, holiness is our topic. God has his work cut out for us, for him, to make us holy so that we can partake of the fruit of life. Adam and Eve could have partaken of it had they remained holy. Revelations 22 and 19. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Wonderful continuum, a wonderful tapestry, the tree of life, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, all the way to Revelation chapter 22, from the very beginning to the very end, this tree of life, this opportunity to live forever in the holiness presence of God is taught to us. In reality, the thing that we should be looking for most in this world is the very thing that was lost in the Garden of Eden. What God has in store for us beyond this world is described in terms that hark back to the original garden. To him that overcomes, I will give for him to eat of the tree of life. Beyond our longings to, for many things. It is really life that we long for. We may deny that longing, but that's really what we long for. And God tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, when he said, he has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has put eternity in our hearts. That longing for eternity. To live. That's man's longing. And it's a never-ending longing. When Adam and Eve sinned, desiring to know all that God knew, even if they had to disobey him to get that knowledge, they cut off their access to eternity. But God, in his gracious mercy and wisdom, provided a plan so that you and I can get eternity back. And eternity with God is not simply longevity, it's also a quality of life. Everybody's going to live forever. It's just a matter of where. But eternal life connotates not simply living forever, but living in a place where you desire to live forever. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can have all that the word life was ever meant to convey. And that is an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, the writer of Hebrews says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Fear of death is called bondage. Do we look forward to dying? Well, I look forward to death. I don't know that I can tell you I look forward to dying because I don't know what that's going to feel like. But going through that transformation to death is something to be longed for. William Penn wrote, "He who lives to live forever never fears dying." As I bring this to a close, what was lost in the fall, Genesis chapter 3, is regained in the end when we eat of the tree of life in the new heavenly Jerusalem. The life intended for man by God, depicted as a quality of harmonious existence together, was lost in the Garden of Eden. But when we eat of the tree of life, it'll be restored. God walked, number 3, and talked with them, and when they were out of his presence, they sinned. When we are away from God, we sin, and we become deceptive. And this is why the world is so corrupt. But in the end, those who eat of it in the presence of God will be with him eternally again. I believe mankind lost his perspective in the Garden of Eden. And today, many have never gotten that right perspective back. But I pray to the Lord that you and I have, and that we can share that with others so that they will get the right perspective back. Many have lost their lifeline, and that's Jesus Christ. They've lost their source of energy, their only source of energy, which can make them beautiful, assured, and wise. Adam and Eve lost the tree of life. But the tree of life remains for those who will overcome and accept the gift of Jesus Christ. I referenced that saying, and I did not check its etymology, of getting another bite at the apple. But every one of us has needed to get another bite at the apple. And the beautiful thing is that we can, because it awaits us. It awaits us. In John chapter 17, it talks about us having eternal life now. I believe eternal life for the Christian begins now. Not in its fullest, not in access to the tree of life. That will come in the judgment day. But that quality of life, the quality of being together with brothers and sisters in the Lord, the quality of having one another to encourage and build us up, that's a taste of eternal life. But it's not a lasting taste. The lasting taste comes when we bite the apple. It's interesting to me, and I don't know quite how to handle this because it's a physical and a spiritual, but in Revelation 2, it says the tree of life is in paradise. In Revelation 22, it says the tree of life is in heaven. So does that mean paradise is in heaven? It could. But paradise is not the fullest manifestation of heaven. That comes in the judgment day, when our physical, when our spiritual bodies are reunited with our souls and with our spirits, and we become that triune entity that God created us, body, soul, and spirit. I think when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, that was the greatest blessing he has ever given mankind. Because it was because of that, we are not stuck in eternal sin. We can break those bonds and be holy and be the brides of Christ. We're going to close our thoughts and extend the gospel invitation.